Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Street Universe, our in bulk edition. This is our opening song. And it just floated away. I touched the sun, but I can't reach it. My vision was taken away. To Main Street Universe, reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Let us start by welcoming our co-host, again, all the way high atop Mount Gaia from the Temple of Gaia, Mr. Kevin Baird.
Thank you.
And remember, Kevin Baird is a psychic medium intuitive consultant and can be reached at www.templeofgaia.com. As well as the stones. Crystalis, and sticks and stones at Fairfax Virginia, that is, if you happen to be local. It's a little New Age incense and crystal shop that is.
They also do classes,
right down the
I
street.
Wanted to add about that, too. They do herb classes. Like, there's a really excellent teacher there. She goes by the name of Professor Bubbles.
Professor Bubbles, okay.
And she does herbs. She brings in her own herbs, and she runs a goat farm, has her own farm, makes her own cheese, and does all other kinds of things as well. And then there's Gwendolyn, who is the candle maker, and she is co-owner of the store Sticks and Stones also. But they are the people to go to if you're looking to know more about being pagan or getting connected back to the roots of Mother Earth, which is what our ritual is about today, embolic. It's the return of the light and hope and return of the mother and beginning of a new season.
And let me expand a little bit on that. Embolc, also known as Oimel. Today we will be engaged in this ritual in a little bit. Both of the words, Oimel, I think I'm pronouncing that right, or Embolc. I didn't grow up in a pagan village somewhere where we did these things came to be later in life. But both words have history involving mother's milk. And takes place February 2nd or February 1st. I've heard both. And it's a point where we're still in midwinter, but when winter begins to wane and celebrates the goddess Brigitte. This is a goddess, yes, who became a Catholic saint. The Catholics adopted her as a saint. She must have made a pretty big impression. This is as well part of the origins of Groundhog Day in pagan practice to see whether or not we have more winter or we will see spring on the horizon. You all forgive me. I was working till somewhere around 4 in the morning last night, but I feel a little...
No bad. Rest for the wicked.
Anyway, let's see if our callers are here.
Yep, we have everybody on the line. We have Britt, who's in the room. Hello, Britt.
Hello. How are you doing?
Britt Hillman. Good to see you. Good to hear from you. And is Oberon Lafay there?
I am. Happy Embolc.
Yes, happy Embolc to you. And Reverend Sherry Cooper?
I'm here.
All right. Great, great. And with us, at that point, it started. The first thing I want everyone to do is to start by clearing and releasing. So start by feeling the excess energy and stress of the day leave you, leaving you, exiting you through the palms of your hands and the soles of your feet. And here's a little exercise I like to do for this grounding or clearing. We think, picture, as you take a deep breath, that you're standing under a waterfall. Breathe deeply in and out. Picture the water hitting you on top of your head, running, pouring through your body. Now picture the water pouring out through the palms of your hands and through the soles of your feet, taking it with it any excess negative energy. What I do is I like to push out sometimes a little extra hard when I exhale, but still staying in kind of a relaxed state, but just a little extra towards the end. So now 3 times we'll do this. Breathe in deeply once. 2, 3. Out. 2, 3. And in. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 1, 2, 3, 4. Then exhale. 2, 3. Pushing it through your hands and feet. 1 more time. 2, 3, 4. Hold. 2, 3, 4. And then out. 2, 3. Water you're pushing out with your exhales, just taking all of the excess negative stuff that you don't need and sending it back into the earth, where the goddess will make something useful out of it, perhaps a flower, an animal, a rock, a tree, something. Now, I will cleanse the room using a visualization technique and holy water. Behold, I do cleanse this sacred space, casting out any negativity or impurities that may lie within. Now I'm picturing the entire room, everything in it turning white. I exhale, I picture pushing out any little dust particles, little bits of negative energy. Now I picture that the room, the entire thing, everything is covered with a pale blue light. And as I exhale, I'm again pushing it out. Now the light is vibrating at a higher level. Now I picture in my mind everything in this room is now a dark purple violet. And upon exhaling, pushing out any excess negative energy that could be left over in the room. And this room is cleansed. I'm sprinkling little bits of holy water here and there. Okay, now I will begin by opening the circle. Or casting the circle, forgive me. Behold, I do cut apart a place between this world and that of the mighty ones. A circle of art with the purposes of raising energy. Circle is cast. What I will now do, and I will be the one that starts, is invoke the element of the east. Guardians of the watchtowers of the East, of air, of intellect, of new thoughts and new beginnings. O great soaring vulture of the East, you whose beauty is misunderstood, you soar gracefully through the air, keeping your eyes out for fallen animals that have returned to the land of summer. When the vultures circle, it is no less magical than any other. Circle of art. It is you that helps to maintain the circle of life here on planet Earth as you feed upon the carrion and return gracefully to the sky. We ask for your balanced guidance and wisdom on this day with deep love and with deep respect. We bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
I will now light the candle, the east. Okay, Brett, would you invoke the elements of the south?
Guardians of the watchtower of the south, of action, manifestation, and fire. I call upon the Hilla Monster, great venomous lizard of the south. You represent patient, intelligent action. It is you who can wait months safe within Mother Earth, then strike only when needed. Your venom is painful, yet within is the code for the treatment of human beings with chronic conditions. We ask that you join us this day. We ask for your balance, guidance and wisdom. With deep love and deep respect, we bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and
hail
welcome.
And welcome.
Hail and welcome.
I will now light the candle for the south. All right, Oberon, Lefay, Order of Apollo, would you like to now invoke the element of the west?
Hail, guardians of the watchtowers of the west, spirits of wave and water and deep motion. Hail, great dolphins who draw the chariot of Father Poseidon, you who laugh and play with all the joy of creation. You are the great communicators of the ocean. You are loved by humans, yet feared by sharks, for you are mobile and wise. Join us. We ask for your balanced guidance and wisdom. With deep love and deep respect, we bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail
and welcome.
I will now light the candle for the west. Reverend Sherry, would you now invoke the elements of the north?
Guardians of the Watchtower of North, of stable wisdom, of integration of earth, I call on the great Wolverine, roaming free and solitary in the lands of the north. You are known for your bravery. It is you who will go after prey much larger than you. It is you that remind us that we must at times be fierce and strong to progress and survive. It is you who help us understand the rugged wisdom of the northern lands. We ask for your balanced guidance and wisdom on this day. With deep love and deep respect, we bid you hail and welcome.
Hail
and
welcome.
Hail and welcome.
I will now light the candle of the north. Beloved Father God, Lord of the wheel, Lord of the dance, ye whose name is Mystery of Mysteries, we ask you to join us in our circle today. We ask for your balanced guidance and wisdom with deep love and with deep respect. We bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Beloved Mother Goddess, you are all things, spark of the divine within us all. Ye who are without beginning and without ending. We ask for your balance, guidance, wisdom on this day. With deep love and with deep respect, we bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
Beloved ancestors, practitioners of old, you who are with us, you who are us, we ask you to join us here in our circle today. We ask for your balance, guidance, and wisdom. With deep love and with deep respect, we bid you hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
All right. And for those listening, as the elements were being invoked, I want you to picture of the four elements, four pillars of light being raised. And now, for our first act within the circle, I'm going to start off with a three-time sort of chant little song that I came up with.
Morning star.
now, while we were in a circle, I will go ahead. As this is a time in bulk of sharing a little bit of art, poetry, music, and these things, and I will do the poem from this week's Karelian Herald. And this one is Imbolc. Pale winter sun lingers, lengthening each day. On twigs and branches, new buds begin to swell. Songbirds give voice, each striving to excel. Seed senses change in its deep bed of clay. Earth goddess weaves her magic to propel. Reborn, cycle of her womb along the way. Life returns in every tree's slow thought. In pond and stream, the dance begins again. Spring flowers show their purpose to proclaim. A new season comes. Winter's reign is short, and darkness no longer exercises any claim. Green growth dispels gray. Mood is brought. For our next act within the circle, I'd like to do a healing meditation technique, a fairly brief and easy one. And how I like to start it, because I know some of us have phones in our hands, is I take both of my palms, or one, and place it near my chest or my heart chakra, and I feel it get a little bit warm. And then next, I slowly draw it away from my chest. And as I do, I picture the ball of pale green light, the light of the heart chakra forming. Feel it filled with pale green light. And then take your hands and put your palms together. And as you do, feel this pale, beautiful green light from your heart chakra. Feel it go through your shoulders, down through your arms, into the palms of your hands, until your arms and chest and shoulders and the rest of your body eventually all begin to glow a pale green light. See yourself as a being of pale green light. You are light, shadow, and energy. You are now made of this pale green light. Now picture from that heart chakra area golden little sparks, little stars moving, extremely active, little sparks forming. And as they do, they grow out of your chest, down through your arms, and into the palms of your hands. See them moving and swirling back and forth all over the place. These are the little gold healing sparks. These are the things, the little healing lights that help to put everything back together. Picture them swirling all throughout your body now. You are made up, you are being a pale green light. And these green, golden, glittery sparks are coursing through you. Now, think of an area in your body that maybe needs a little bit of healing. And then take your hand, place them on that area. And when you do, picture a concentration of these golden sparks flourishing all over that area that needs some healing. Concentrate. Put your emotion into it. Say thank you for healing this. And picture these golden sparks all through your body and even more concentrated in the area. An ache, a pain of yours that maybe you wish to be healed. When you have done so, put the palms of your hands back together in praying position. Now, you can release the golden sparks, have them return to your heart chakra, but know that the healing energy is still there. The green light will slowly dissipate into the ball of pale green light in your chest. After that, slowly closed, then picture a little door that's open, shut. Now the chakra is stable and shut. For the next act within the circle, I would like to do an oracle, but this isn't going to be a personal oracle. This is going to be one or I ask a question about the community as a whole. I'm not going to consult the tarot this time. This time I'm going to consult the Horizon Oracle deck. My question is about unity of the pagan community. I will be asking the goddess, what qualities must we embrace to promote unity within the pagan community? Part I've drawn is recognition. Card 443. And what I get when I look at this card, there's three people in this card, and one is standing up on sort of a pedestal, and he's sharing something. Behind them is a road. So I view this as information is being given, and it's being given freely. And they can jump onto that street and take it wherever they want. So this is about good and open communication, which also means it could be about good and open listening, which some of us that stand on the pedestal may struggle with from time to time. Is that how you would interpret that card, Kevin?
Exactly. Very good.
Okay.
Where it shows somebody who is trying to communicate a message, and the pedestal is not perfect, but it's one that allows them to stand a little higher, a little taller, and that they can see a little further, and that more people can see more of them.
So, it's definitely a card, Oracle, mentioning good communication and good listening. And maybe not always thinking you have all the right answers all the time. Is there anything else anyone would like to add out there?
I'll just say, as we were doing our calling and I was talking about the dolphins, my internet popped up with a little ad for swimming with dolphins in Hawaii.
That's funny.
Yeah, that is.
Somebody was listening, at least my gremlin in my computer.
Yeah, the gremlin, I like that. And what I will now
I
do...
Also...
Oh, go ahead,
see the card. I also see the card. Actually, I was talking about this last night with someone.
Okay.
About how the younger generation is not recognizing the older. Our elders, we're forgetting our elders. And I'm not talking about people that are, you know, full of themselves. I'm talking about honest elders that have done the work, that have moved before us, and have been there. And we were talking about just how much loss of respect we are for those of us that are coming into the community now, for those that have already stepped before us. Is one thing, we stand on the shoulders of people behind us, which in a way is kind of a pedestal.
It's true.
It's a perfect pedestal, but it's one that lets us move forward.
And it's true, and we'll actually continue this. What I'd like to do now is break down our circle, and then we will continue our conversation. I will start the ancestors. Beloved ancestors, we thank you for joining us on this day. We thank you for your balanced guidance and wisdom. With deep love and with deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Beloved Mother Gaia, we thank you for joining us today. We thank you for your balanced guidance and wisdom. With deep love and with deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Beloved Father God, we thank you for joining us on this day. We thank you for your balanced guidance and wisdom. With deep love and with deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Reverend Sherry, would you evoke the element of the North, please?
Guardians of the Watchtower of the North, we thank you for joining us on this day. We thank you for your balance, guidance, and wisdom. With deep love and deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell. Oberon Lafay, to evoke the element of the West.
Guardians of the Watchtowers of the West, we thank you for your presence on this day. We thank you for your balanced guidance and wisdom. Stay if you will, go if you must. With deep love and deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell. Brett Hillman, would you devote the elements of the South?
Guardians of the Watchtower of the South, we thank you for joining us this day. We thank you for your balance, guidance, and wisdom. Stay if you will, go if you must. With deep love and deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Guardians of the Watchtowers of the East, we thank you for your presence here this day. Thank you for your balanced guidance and wisdom. With deep love and with deep respect, we bid you hail and farewell.
Hail and farewell.
Okay, now I do open this circle. As above, so below. As the universe, so the soul. The circle is open, but is never truly broken. So mote it be.
So mote it be.
Now, clear and release, briefly, any excess energy you may have within. Okay, so we survived.
Hi.
Thank you all very much for joining us today, by the way. Thank you, Reverend Sherry and Oberon, and of course, Brett, who's part of the show. And
you're very welcome.
Wanted to mention to archive listeners that the ritual is valid till the end of February. What did you mean by that necessarily, Kevin? You mean as far as...
Yeah, for the people who are listening to this recording as a recording, that the window, it's sort of like a grenade, if you use the analogy.
For the holiday,
who want to attend or create their own ritual in their own sacred space, they've not missed the opportunity.
Oh, okay. I understand. You meant like... Gotcha. And anyway, folks, I'll do a plug real quick, and then we'll go back to our conversation. This one is for Esoterica Online. Esoterica used to be a brick-and-mortar store, but does still exist, but exists online at www.esotericanova.com in Sterling, Virginia, 703-777-4642. Still your New Age interfaith focus, herbs, crystals, stones, oils, candles, incense, divination tools, and more. That's www.esotericanova.com. And back to our conversation that we started in the circle, as within, so without. Brett.
Yes.
Are you there, Brett?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you were mentioning about respect for elders and such.
Well, the card you said was recognition.
Yes.
And I believe you described it as a person standing on an imperfect pedestal with people, with two people around him.
Yes.
And I, what I gathered from just your description was, as I said, I was talking about this last night, is that we stand. On those that went before us. While not perfect, it's still, you know, it is our moving front. It is where we look forward. I see it as a recognition of our elders. And
yes.
That's something we really grossly ignore in the pagan community. Now, there are people that are older and say they've been doing it for years and years and years, and they could be really full of themselves. That's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
Not everyone's in a perfect position from just age. There are life experiences that come with it.
Oh, sure.
And all of us are learning those life experiences right now.
Absolutely.
But we get to the point where we ignore those that went before us, and it's a real problem in my age group.
And I noticed I'm also a member of another social site outside of Witch School, and I think I've been there 2 days, and I pretty much only said hi and mentioned something about a coven and solitary, and already got an anti-Scott Cunningham, anti-Ray Buckland response.
I was cracking.
And that was basically for saying hi.
Sure.
So it's just still out there. These people think they got this weird new modern truth with them. And all they've basically done was hurt another grumpy person online. But I didn't respond to it, though. You would have been very proud. I'm not responding to the venom anymore. It's not a place I tended to spend much time anyway. I was just kind of networking, you know. And that was amazing.
Welcome to the internet, the bridge of trolls.
Yeah. But,
I mean, okay. Cunningham and Buckland are not perfect, but they've done it.
Sure.
They have been there. And, yes, Cunningham is a little dated, but it's still one of the first books that I go, here, read this. Buckland's book is a great textbook. I wouldn't call it great reading, at least not his Big Blue Reader. But
that's not like a text.
It's a textbook. That's what it is. It is a college textbook that you can hand to someone. It's a great way to introduce subjects, and it's a great way to get some great detail on quite a few things, but it's not perfect.
And the whole point is that, first of all, nothing is perfect. And second of all of this is about the groundbreakers. You know, Jell Gardner was very necessary for his time. He was extremely necessary. He was someone mm-hmm. who put these things together and helped the religion as a whole survive, really. And then other people started propping up here and there. And
helped me back in the early 90s. That's how I got my start, really.
Yeah, Kevin is, he used to be, or part of his training was Gardnerian, actually. And a lot of people wouldn't think that as eclectic as he is, but he's very innovative and is always working on stuff.
Had to have somewhere to start.
The eclectic start somewhere, yeah. I do want to point out real quick, though, be careful to go to the other extreme and follow one person to the point of a hero worship.
Yeah.
Do not let one source be your guide. And I want to be careful because I'm saying this to a bunch of people in the same tradition.
Yeah. Well,
Reverend Don Lewis is not the end all be all. He is a teacher, nothing more.
Yeah.
And yes, he has his experience, and he passes, you know, he is willing to write them down. But there are so many other people that you should read. If I ever see a book mentioned in a book, I usually go and find that book. Because that means they got something from that book, and felt the need to share it. There's probably more in that book that's worthful.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that
I
was
take
also...
many sources. Many sources.
Oh, yeah. And that's healthy, though, because it gives you a richer experience. One time, I found a great meditation. The woman's name was, I believe it was something like Anne Marie Gallagher, I think her name was. And her meditations were really similar to some of the ones that my old solitary teacher from way back used to do, because she was very old and didn't move around, so we did everything kind of in her mind. And it was a lot of like sort of long shamanic meditations and similar to the name-finding one that I did years ago. For those of you that don't know, my online name of Sparrow is an actual pagan name. It's not just a nickname I came up with. It was one of those, you find it in a meditation kind of names. And I think it took about 3 sessions before it came to me. And it was kind of funny how it happened, because I saw this little bird in the meditation. And it almost like my old teacher's voice came in, because I didn't know what kind of bird it was, and like, I don't know if I heard it or just felt it. She was like, "It's a sparrow, you idiot." So I was like, "Oh, okay, that's my name." That was just, I thought that was kind of funny. So that was how that happened, or that happened, how that came about. So, as far as,
you know, what's neat.
Go ahead.
You know what's neat? How we come about our names. You know, just like your little story.
Yeah.
I kind of did a meditation, and I come up with, it just kept coming to me, Iris Eyes. And I went by Iris Eyes for a long time until I changed it and got my ordination and went to Reverend Sherry Cooper. But, you know, a lot of people still know me by Iris Eyes because it's so ingrained into everybody that even the local people in my town, the pagans, they don't call me Sherry. They call me Iris Eyes.
Oh, okay.
It kind of sticks, you know. When you use your name a lot, it sticks, especially if it's suited for you.
Right. And I think mine suited to me somewhat because I'm very much an air sign, and I kind of have the stereotypical quality. And to see in the chat room that Marcy says she wants me to sing her to sleep tonight. If I have to. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to be at work. But I appreciate the compliment. I always like to incorporate music into ritual. That's kind of my personal thing. And speaking of personal things, I would like to move on to Kevin Baird. He is a full-time psychic and explorer of the spiritual world. And would you like, Kevin, to discuss your card of the day, which is...
I want to say before you move it out, I want to mention something about my name. My name's Rune, if you notice, I have that attached. But mine came from actually a couple of different sources. Yes, the writing system, the divination system. Mine admittedly also came from a video game character who I actually really admire. I still admire to this day. It's a couple of, you know, just where we get our name could be from anywhere. It's still a part of you.
Like, this is Kevin. My name way back in, like, the early 90s, I went with Cave for a little while, but I really didn't feel like I was that... like that kind of deep, you know, to mystery, that kind of stuff. I felt like there was something like a little more. And so I decided to reverse the name for Cave and turned it into Savick, where it would be Caves spelled backwards, S-E-V-A-C. And that's the name that I took with me whenever I went into the live-action role-playing world, and everybody knows me out there for like 2 or 3 years, that kind of stuff, which is another story completely. But if you Google Just the Geist under Dagger Hair or something, you can find out more about that. But, yeah, I had a spiritual name back then. It was called, you know, like your coven name or something like that. So
right.
It's all in
well,
how you
actually, I don't use, I even hesitate to call it magical name because I use it in other communities as well. People know me as Rune in quite a few areas. It's a name is every bit as real as my given name by my parents.
Exactly.
And names are powerful. I'm going to go with a, you know, nerdy thing and go with the Dresden reference. There's inflection in names.
Sure.
For example, my name is not Brett Hillman. It's Brett Ian Hillman. There's power in that. There's nuances in how I say it that make it mine. And that's true of even your magical name, your mystical name, whatever. It's yours.
Anybody else?
I'm sorry. That's it.
Are you okay?
I think we're waiting for your...
Okay, yeah.
I had to cough for a second, I'm sorry.
Okay, no worries on that. So, I want to take just a quick minute here and talk about my Oracle deck, which is the Horizon Oracle, which is a, sort of like an entry-level, but yet advanced-level, beginner kind of deck to where we use everyday images to help convey a message or spiritual message, that kind of stuff. And the card for today is the 1-1-8 card, and that you can see it on the little rotating images for the show for today. It shows an individual looking at a sundial with a shadow being cast onto the last stone. And each one of those stones really represents points that we've gone through in our life or over the last couple of weeks, couple of months, that kind of stuff, and the things that we realized. And then there's one last stone. It's almost like a stone that goes onto a scale or something like that that really cinches the deal, closes the deal, or really validates this thing that we're looking at to explore. And then once we've made this discovery, it's almost like a milestone that we reach that we're able to go back to as if it's like a memory or a storage device or something that can help us really get reconnected, access that information that reminded us of how we got where we are today. So looking at sundial with the shadow being cast onto the last stone and the word that's associated with the card is begin, it means that it's now time to begin into a next time, a new age for the things that you want to see happening in your life. That's what I have. Danny?
Okay. So, yeah, that's an interesting one, I think. It's almost like you're repeating patterns, but you break that. Like, the pattern isn't necessarily bad, but you have to break it to go to the next level, maybe is how I interpret that.
Good.
And as far as Oberon Lafay, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
We were talking about names. Did you... Now, I don't know if Oberon's your real name. If it's not, I'm not going to ask you for but did you ever have, like, a spirit animal style name or something similar to that?
Well, that's kind of why I was being a little quiet about the names discussion. I've been around a long time, and I think that people's names change as they evolve. And I was actually soundly criticized at one time for changing my name too often, so...
I think it's okay. I remember in some practices, when you just sort of consciously pick a name, maybe not in a meditation state, and you know you pick a color that you think associates with where you are, like say yellow for intellect and maybe air and things like that, or blue or green for healing, depending on your tradition. And so you would say, you know, blue sparrow for, oh, now I'm into healing art. Of course, those colors vary different traditions. So, you pick a color or an animal or whatever. So I actually agree with you. I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with changing your name. In accordance, it can show your evolution.
Because, I think so, too. But, like I said, I was very roundly criticized for it, and several people in the community questioned my authority and all this other stuff because why
God.
Is changing the name, you know? And so I just kind of stay quiet on that subject.
Back to the community thing again, huh? And
yeah.
I was trying to ask that in kind of a positive way, of course, during the circle time. And because it is an issue that comes up. I wasn't trying to start a negative conversation about it. And I would also like to remind people, if they'd like to call in or any questions, 760-542-4345 is our call-in number. And there's something is making my phone crackle a little bit. Is that happening to anyone else?
Yeah.
Sometimes,
no,
yeah.
But we do hear it, you know?
Yeah. It's hard to tell. Like, sometimes I think I've heard it on the phone and then not on the archive when I went and listened back and you know, reverse. So, who knows. Kevin thinks it's a ghost in the room. But the name thing, I think an example I can think of is Gandalf. He was, for a while, he was Gandalf the Grey. Then he evolved into Gandalf the White and all of that. It was according to what his place in learning and his evolution was.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't see anything wrong.
Oh,
with
you just... I'm sorry, I have to bring up the... He had different names to different people as well. To the elves, he was known as Mithrandir.
Right.
He was also known as the Grey Pilgrim.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember that one too. And if I'm not mistaken, is there not a new Hobbit? There's a new Hobbit movie coming out, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. It's
I
going
think
to be
so.
Too, it's going to have the same people as the Lord of the Rings movies, where possible.
Oh, okay.
Sam Burton's playing Gandalf, and the trailer came out about a month ago. But depending on who he was with, what he was doing, he did have a different name. And
yeah.
According to mythology, he was also more or less what amounts to an angel.
Ah.
And he was the lowest, at first he was the lowest of them. He was even lower than, say, Radagast, who is a very minor character in the book, but he's mentioned he was the lowest of these beings that were sent to Middle-earth. And he became the highest through his service. He took over Saruman, who had fallen in position.
Oh, that's good. I like the idea that he did it on his service and his effort. There's so many aspects to fantasy stories. I was having this discussion the other day, I think, with Mr. Kevin Baird here, about... Now, of course, the characters in Tolkien are forgiven because he was an originator but of modern era. But so many of these fantasy stories are, it's some person who's the character, and then a lot of the copycat stories, I mean, are, and secretly, you're a king, and you never knew it. And it's, like, so common in the fantasy realm that turns out you're a queen or a princess and you didn't know it. And it's like, can't you just be a regular guy and, like, gotta go do stuff and improve and be part of this adventure? Why does it always have to be you're secretly royalty? It's like this obsession with it. I mean, I kind of understand it. I'm just saying it's a little tired.
the joy of the story of a hero.
Sure.
It comes back in the modern era over and over.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
There's a pretty good book called The Hero's Journey by Christopher, I think it's Vogner is his name. It's a book that writers use, and it kind of talks about the stories, archetypes and outlines and things like that. And you see a lot of these similarities and, you know, mentors, and they mention all of this stuff. And then there's the time for the mentor to die and to, you know...
Are you talking about Joseph Campbell?
No, but Joseph Campbell is definitely someone who thinks like that and is in that, the power of myth and such.
Mm-hmm.
And of these archetypes and how they apply to real life. And it's one of the things I think is interesting about the pagan path is if you pay attention to it and use it, it can be extremely helpful. in your life, because you start learning and see things, just like in the tarot deck, you see all the different personality archetypes and situation archetypes, and you can apply them, and you see the commonalities with everybody, and you realize that something you thought was really this big deal might not be, and it's just part of the human experience. So it's an obstacle you just step over. Some of the more negative, disrespectful people that you run into, they kind of come, to me, they kind of come at pagan philosophy with their own set of stuff. Oftentimes, it's with sort of the thunder of an evangelical Christian, and not necessarily just sort of relaxing and seeing it for what it is naturally, and how these experiences are common, and that things are going to evolve. You know, you bring up something new, just like Oberon talked about bringing up the new name. You bring up something new, and they're like, "What? Well, the tradition." It's like, well, it's part of the whole thing. It's also part of survival. And you look at the history of all religions anywhere, and they evolve. It's just...
If you don't grow, you can't lead.
Yeah, I agree completely.
Farrell?
Yes?
I need to run.
Okay.
I hate to cut the conversation short, but I've got to go. My phone is beeping and carrying on, so I think
I got
I'm getting
you.
Phone calls.
Okay, I understand. Well,
it's been great.
Thank you very
Thanks
much
for the ritual.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for joining us.
Blessed be.
All right, and blessed
to
be, Reverend.
Blessed to be, Sherry.
All right.
The our bones, whenever they become broken, go through a remodeling, which is inevitable also.
Right. I think this, is somebody near their computer? I think I hear an echo back.
Yeah, I started to hear it too.
Well, it happens.
Uh-huh.
It might be Mr. LaFay.
I think it's gone.
Okay.
Anyway.
Right. No, I'm here.
Okay.
You can't be
okay.
Me because I've got you on mute, so.
Okay.
Oh, well, there you go.
But yeah, just touch on that again. I was watching a TV show this morning called Bones. It's a TV series, and the one of the doctors on there keeps talking about whenever bones become broken and then they start healing, they go through what's known as a remodeling. And I think whenever we become damaged due to an event that's sort of devastating in our lives, that we become broken, but we go through a remodeling that sort of like transforms us and helps us be a little stronger than what we were prior to the, before the event.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I think it's a very good metaphor.
So I've also designed a card that's known as the planned failures card. Whenever you draw this card, it talks about breaking, something becoming broken that was very fragile in the first place. We knew it was fragile, but we were sort of like in denial about whether it was fragile, and then someone comes in and destroys it. It allows us to sort of like project the blame onto that individual that broke this thing instead of us taking the credit for it, that kind of stuff.
Right.
You know, like if we're not able to achieve anything and that we see people achieving things around us, we tend to sort of like project how they're not, you know, correct or maybe itemize or list their faults in some way to help us feel better about ourselves as well. And really what we're trying to do is to break out of our shell and really transform into like a new level. And whenever we have people who attack us and say, oh, you're not this, you don't know what you're talking about, that kind of stuff, it's really a cry for help and validation that they are significant also, but they don't have the strength really to stand on their own except to maybe, you know, list or critique those that are around them.
Yeah, that's what they're good at.
Yes.
It's like the difference between, you know, how do I say this carefully? I've had personal experience with this.
It's giving us us no instead of giving us grow.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. I ran for political office before as an independent, and And it was my first experience of getting insulted by local media in the area, like newspapers and stuff like that. So the feeling you can get is just like, well, you know, there's the guy running for office and there's the guy, you know, talking about it. Of course, I'm a talk show host, too. I talk about things, too. But in the manner that some do, all they do is critique without contributing, and that's the difference. Do you critique and contribute, or do you just critique? And I think that's where the difference really lies. Are you just shouting and, you know, waving your fist in the air, or are you actually doing something productive or something?
And shouting or yelling doesn't make the individual more right. Just makes them louder.
Yeah, exactly.
I've said this before when it comes to our language. We are the only people in the world, and I mean Americans, but we think everyone understands us more if we speak louder and slower. And it doesn't work. But I also want to say everyone gets to that point where they have to critique what they are, you know, exposed to.
Sure.
They don't have to do it vocally, mind you. But there are books I'm reading now, and I'm going, this is utter crap.
Right.
You have to at that point. It's like, no offense. I'm not going to give any examples, but you have to at that point where you realize that there are things that are not helping you grow, and you have to remove yourself from them.
Yes.
Now, you can learn from these things by going, okay, I'm not doing that. Too, but everyone needs to get to a point where you get to some level of critique. Do you do it constructively or destructively? There's the difference.
And that was, that was the point I was making too, I agree, was it's good to critique. I'm saying that's healthy. I mean, here I'm a talk show host, so
right.
Me saying don't be a critique is kind of hypocritical.
Right.
Is it constructive? Is it constructive? Is it promoting progression? Where do we go from here with this criticism, and possibly do you take action on it?
Or is it enabling a denial that the person is stuck in also? Some people criticize something just so that they keep everything at a status quo, so there is no growth for anything that's around them. Like our friends who are in high school, even though they're 26, 27, 50 years old, they're still in high school.
And still reliving the glory days.
Yeah. And they can't step out of that zone. They don't know how to be something other than how they were known back in that time.
Yes. And
they tend to be corporate tools, I'll just add.
Right? Well, yeah, I've been there.
Corporations are really just a glorified high school.
A glorified high school. I've been there. I'm trying to step away from, you know, being... Got to stop saying try, also, from being a laborer.
Right.
But, Kevin, I would like to ask you again about how is the progression, or is there any progression for you doing ghost tours?
It's still up in the air. The season is beginning. We just had Embolic, and I think the museum that's over in Dumfries, Virginia, it's known as the Weems Bott, Weems-Bott, has seriously haunted facilities there. And I think that they're just chewing on it. They have to go through board members and petition things and vote on things, that kind of stuff. So everything has a voting system to accept or not accept processes. The thing is if they bring someone such as myself into that, they will get a lot of notoriety of being known as someone who has a professional psychic working at their facility. And that could cause some people who are very conservative, specifically Christian, and feel that there would be some kind of slam that you would receive if you were to go there. You would end up going to hell because you would be associating with a Christian. But I also would like to add, just to segue off of the word hell, I was reading about some of the ancient texts back to Babylon and that kind of stuff, where they had written in the cuneiform scripts, where they talked about how the rules were written to keep people in a calm, conductive kind of state or situation. And whenever they became unruly or did not fit, you know, or like upset the world, they would end up having to go into the mines and the furnaces where they were preparing the gold, smelting the gold, doing all that kind of stuff. And that, I feel, is where the origin of hell came from. So if you were a bad, like, a citizen, basically, you were sent to the mines and you were sent to the furnaces to really...
That's one part of it. There was also a place, I believe, in Israel that was a physical place known for torture and burning and some sort of... It was considered a region, I can't remember the biblical verse now, where it was considered the hell on earth, and it was a place, and literally like terrible things like babies being burnt and stuff like that went on, and it was considered to be a link to what some scholars think is a link to that too. But no, your point's really good.
The reference goes back to about 150,000 years ago.
Yeah, I was using biblical, using one older than that.
Yeah.
And for those of you still listening, Kevin Baird is a professional psychic medium, full-time intuitive consultant. He can be found at www.templeofgaia.com.
Right. G-A-I-A.
Yes.
Whenever the Old Testament is mentioning hell, it is actually using a Hebrew word sheol, which means place of the dark.
Yes,
that's all it talks about, and that's a reference to being in the ground.
Like in a mine or a furnace place or something like that. If you look at the movie... Go ahead.
It's
the echo again.
Hello? I was looking to see if I could get my hello to echo.
Nope, it didn't work.
Okay. We take advantage of everything that's presented to us to see what we can learn.
Yeah. And the historical, is it part of a historical tour as well? One thing that would be interesting, like you said, is to have that to market. They can say, oh, we have a professional psychic who's been tested by the Monroe Institute, right? You've been tested by, I think it was Monroe.
Yes.
And you worked with a guy who... They based the Men Who Stare at Goats.
Yes, the whole institution. It was like a segment of the CIA, but it was in the Army, the element that I was.
It was your colonel or your general?
It was a general and a colonel all in there.
Okay.
If you Google Jack Walters, Lieutenant Colonel, and Albert Stubblebine, Stubbline. That'll sort of help you see what it is I'm talking about. They even have some YouTube stuff as well. But they were trying to find a way to do remote viewing by looking into the minds of the enemy, basically. But they found out, because it was all left brain, that they couldn't read anything. They can only just hear conversations or see how the person felt.
Yeah, and I remember when that program, they claimed to have closed that program down. I don't know if it's true. I actually knew another woman who... I have no names, but I'll mention, but who was loosely had something to do with that and had talked about it before. And the government was experimenting with remote viewing. Claimed to have, remember there was one hit that was supposedly a success from remote viewing sometime, I thought, during the Kuwait thing.
Maybe.
But I'm not sure, so I'll be quiet.
Well, a lot of that they talk about right now, what that segued into, and I'm still in touch with Colonel Walters, or Colonel Alexander, is that they've moved to New Mexico, and they have a facility out there that is training psychics for psychic warfare, and that you can Google this. This is stuff that is not classified, but they're primarily working on non-lethal weapons.
Oh, okay.
Like the sound bombs.
Yeah, that's an interesting technology. The non-lethals. I think you see these funny little, beanbag guns and sound wave weapons and things that just make people kind of freak out a little bit. Basically,
there was a reference once to where somebody was killed with a beanbag gun because they had a broken rib, and the beanbag hit right on the place where the break was, and it caused a piece of the bone to fly into the heart, severing some arteries and killing the person they bled out internally.
They call them non-lethals, but yeah. You can just die of the stress of one of these things,
sure.
Right? If you're hit from an electric shock gun,
yeah.
People can die from that.
Oh,
you know,
tasers mess people up.
They do. It's awful to send that kind of energy through somebody.
Oh.
And it causes and then promotes...
People end up in the hospital for years because of taser. I mean, non-lethal. Non-lethal, but if you call that living.
Yeah. I mean, it can really mess you up, especially, you know, those real high-level ones. People are just... You're sending all kinds of erratic energy to somebody's body. That's not a
right.
good thing. There are people that have... I know because... Part of my professional life, I've been an electrician, and I've known of stories of guys that have had really bad electrical shocks, and because they didn't die from it, but what happens is other like organs are degenerated from it. So they're like 35 years old and they have a heart attack, even though historically, genetically in their family, you know, they wouldn't have had that, or you know that was supposed to happen when they were 75 or whatever. But they would be really young and just die because their organs were degenerated from the electrical shock. They were fried up a little bit, basically. And I'd heard quite a few stories of that. Just all the conditions will happen. Like, say a young guy gets a really bad electric shock and survives. You know, all of a sudden he gets all these conditions that maybe he should have potentially naturally,
right.
genetically got when he was 60. He was getting when he was 28, 30, 35, something like that. 40.
So it accelerated his growth or
yeah.
aging, I guess.
Yeah, so or, yeah, the degeneration.
Yeah.
And without the replenishment, you know. Anyway, Oberon, are you still there?
Yeah, hi, I'm here. I still have you guys a little on mute. I'm just listening to the conversation and I will pop in when I have something to say.
You're welcome to join us. We would be honored.
Yeah,
I didn't get to talk to you the last time you were on the air with us. I was working that day. I felt so bad because, you know, I know you and you're like a friend of mine, and I felt so bad that I wasn't on the air with you that day.
Well, that's okay. You guys are doing great, and I don't disagree with anything you say, and if I do, I definitely will let you know.
That's helpful.
Yeah, this is a little looser than normal. We added an extra half hour, for one. I don't know if anybody noticed. And the ritual was a little shorter than I thought it was when I wrote it up, but that happens. But that's okay. I don't mind doing it a little bit open lines, loose.
Well, this is how some rituals are that I've known from the past, is where we open the ritual, or we open the circle, call the quarters, do some, you know, some magical work, that kind
yeah.
of stuff. And then we talk about the things that we want to manifest into our life. We create a
Let's shift to that,
yeah.
since we're here.
Yeah.
I was considering actually doing that in the circle. I was even considering readings within the circle, but I hadn't talked about it with anybody, and I just said, I'll just do this little healing meditation, which is honestly just an old chakra one I got from a book like 10 years ago or something.
Right.
It was a real basic, if you look up like basic chakra workbooks and things like that. And
the calling of the quarters is very interesting to me. I had an experience in the past where I joined into a circle and a ritual with very close friends of mine, and we went to this Native American place out in Akoya Landing, and you can Google that too.
I want to go to that place.
It's about an hour and a half south of D.C., and me and my friends, we did this, we called the quarters, and we walked around the circle. We did the Widdershins and the Dalsall.
Yeah.
And then once we finished with it all, I did a camera sweep. I went all the way around the circle and took a picture in a sort of like a panoramic kind of view. Well, when I got back home and I looked at the pics, I saw that there was a stick person about 4 feet tall that was leaning against the tree. They had their hand up on part of the tree that had fallen, and they were observing our activities. And I really didn't think much about that until I was reading in the Bible the other day where it talked about, or it might have been a reference to the Bible, where it talked about how the first flood had the intent of wiping out all the wood people or all the stick people or all the tree people or something like that. Rune, I don't know if you can help me with a reference to that, but here was an individual who still existed, who still continued. When I looked at that picture, and one of the members of the group who was in the circle still has the picture, but they live in Roanoke and they don't have...
Yeah, you got to get a copy
strong,
of that. I don't have to
yeah.
see it.
But this
now, do you think it was...
Go ahead.
You physically, you know, you were looking at a physical stick person there, or you say it was like an image that you think was meant to tell you that that's...
No, this was actual person. Like, when you look at this picture, you will see that there is a personification of something there that is not humanoid.
I would love to see it. You got to
yeah.
get a copy.
I know. But there is a video that I have favorited on my YouTube that shows of a video that someone had taken in a Spanish kind of video sense. It was all in Spanish, where it shows a stick person that's walking through the scene.
Where would
I have found
that?
You just go to Temple of Gaia off of YouTube.
Temple of Gaia YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's one of my favorite ones.
Okay.
Unless they pulled it.
I found the reference.
Okay.
And it's Mayan. The Mayan creation story, a flood washes away all the wooden people made by the gods in an early attempt to create human beings.
Ooh.
Yes. Wooden people.
I just got like a shiver. That was interesting.
Yeah. And they, I believe, are the fae.
Possibly.
They could be part of the fae that are so...
Oh, was that someone else?
Yeah.
Oberon?
Yes.
Did you add something?
You think they're the Fae?
Yes.
Yeah, I would have to disagree with that. Having worked with the Fae quite extensively, I don't know of any Fae that fit that description, but
okay.
Who knows?
For a while, I was known as the Fae King, and I had that as a nick on mine also. F-E-Y.
Oh, as a name?
K-I-N-G.
Yeah, well, I've heard the Fae are spirits, I've heard the Fae are old spirits of ancestors, you know, like living in the mounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that they're the actual, you know, winged little, you know, fairies out there. I haven't done much Fae work, to be honest. It's not, hasn't been
mm-hmm.
my thing necessarily.
The only thing I know about the Fae is the she. Okay.
Yeah, she.
Oh.
And the story of the she being that the Romans, you know, they said it was an actual race of people that lived, I believe, in Ireland. And one of the legends, I'm saying it's a legend, not necessarily a historical fact, is that the Romans defeated the ship of them that were leaving, and that some people say in the myth that that had something to do with magic being more separated from the mundane world or
mm-hmm.
something. But anyway, over on the Fae, you work with the Fae, so how do you see the Fae?
Well, that would be a whole show, you know, unto itself.
Sure.
Well, let's plan.
I'd be interested in talking more to Kevin about it, because he's apparently been working with them and has maybe had some different experiences than I have. But to me, they live in a parallel realm, a more spiritual realm, but still very physical.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different races of Fae, the she being one of them, and probably the most human-like.
Why don't we plan a future show where you talk about the Fae, if you would like?
I'm sure.
And we can work that around your schedule.
Yeah, whenever.
Over on whenever you
okay.
want.
And,
all right.
Let's make a note of that.
And were you starting to say something, Brett?
We're just talking about the sick people
topic.
That were walked away.
Oh, go ahead.
No,
go
I was going to say show topic. So
yes.
There we can use this as a short topic. There's a couple people in my local area that I have discussed that they were interested. They said they'd be willing to do a show. So we might be able to
okay.
get a couple hosts here. So maybe we should set up a permanent email or something so people can send their own ideas.
Yeah. I wanted to send out – that was kind of one of my next progressions – was sending out to anybody, especially if they're, you know, it'd be nice if they're regular listeners or regular chat room people like Marcy and a few mm-hmm. others that are almost always here, to feel free to give us ideas. And you can do that at my personal email, which I don't mind giving out. I'm
yeah,
there in public, which is danielmichaelva@gmail.com. So that's D-A-N-I-E-L M-I-C-H-A-E-L, V-A for Virginia, DanielMichaelVA@gmail.com. So if you have any show ideas, you can send them to that email of mine, because we will always take suggestions. We have our own things we always talk about. We'd probably never run out of topics, but I also would like to keep the listeners engaged and feel like they're a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, ritual is very important, and I also just want to restate that the people who are listening to this, this ritual is good for magical purposes, for meditation, that kind of stuff, through to the end of February. And then we start thinking about Austera.
And let's get back to something we started to talk about with our, I believe, 8 or so minutes remaining, and that will be, I guess, around the circle. What is everybody looking for this year, or out of this new year, which is also Chinese New Year, passed
right
a little while back?
The dragon.
We will start with Oberon LaFay. What are you looking for this year to manifest?
Well, I am going to be relocating in the summertime, and I am looking for good luck and good health with that. I'm looking for a successful employment situation once I reach my destination, a good living situation, and hoping to become much more involved than I already have been since I'll be relocating to Salem, and maybe we'll have a lot more access to the witch school facilities. And maybe we'll be able to do a little bit more community service type work.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that's always good. And Brett Rune Hillman, what about for your year?
Just watching the doors open and continue moving forward.
Oh, good. And for me, very easy transitioning to be a full-time self-employed artist and basically being paid for all of my skills as far as whether it involves radio, whether it be music. I may look into being a paid reader, still practicing more and more and more and getting better. So basically, yeah, becoming self-reliant and becoming someone who lives my own life, being me, basically. And the steps are being taken. It's going slower than I would like, but it is going in the right direction.
Yeah.
And Kevin Baird, your goal for this year?
Mine is to finish fleshing out the book that's going with the new version of my Horizon Oracle deck. I've got a sample printed copy of it for people who I pass it to get their opinions on and who are master teachers in the area as well. And the other side of that world is making sure that I treat my girlfriend Leslie like a princess. She's the best thing that's ever happened to me. I send out loves and hugs to her over the phone. So everybody send out blessings to Leslie and let her know that we all appreciate her. She's awesome.
All right. That's great.
Yeah. And maybe be on the show one day, too.
Yeah. That would be good. And we can get some even more inside information on Kevin Baird.
Yes. There you go.
You don't hide too much, though, anyway. You're kind of an out-there public kind of guy.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean she doesn't have embarrassing stories.
I'm sure there's plenty of those.
Yeah.
I could tell. And I'm curious, I've been getting from a lot of people recently, and I'm curious if Kevin has in his readings, as he's a full-time reader, a lot of people have been talking about, at least I can comment on this area of Virginia, it's been a particularly warm winter. In fact, it feels like a spring day out. It feels like Osara is already upon
right
us today.
Yeah, I know.
And not really complaining necessarily. I'm just saying, where's our winter? And I've noticed a lot of people being a little bit insecure, mousy, a little fearful, feeling anxiety. Have you been getting that from your questions and your readings? Because I've been noticing people telling me that they feel a little off and even a little...
Sure.
I don't want to use the word scared, but you know how you get, like, anxious and your fears and your insecurities come back. And I'm wondering if that you think that's a weather cycle, and have you been getting it in your readings?
Yes, a lot of people are ready for things to start happening for them now just because it's the season for growth. But it's not really, because the flowers haven't even shown themselves, that kind of stuff. So people are sort of like skipping the meditative parts of their year to where they just sit inside in the cold and think about what they're going to be doing in the spring. Here, it's the springtime now, and that they should be doing. It's almost like skipping the meditation, a morning meditation, and just starting your day. It's causing everybody's day to be a little goofed up.
I know for some of you out there who might be living where it's, you know, negative 10 degrees, have no idea what we're talking about, but we're talking about in this area in Northern Virginia. I mean, and I've noticed it very prevalent.
It's like 65 today, right?
People are acting really strange because they're used to it being, you know, 20 degrees right now, and it's been consistently like a spring instead of a winter.
I'm surprised no one's mowed their lawn yet.
What you're saying is that they're skipping the waning, the important part of the waning mode,
right?
And they're sort of jump starting, like their body's chemistry and their biology and mentally are sort of jump starting into action and fertility time before that quiet meditative sort of waning moon kind of. I'm just worried.
But I think the forefathers of the Constitution and the government picked this area because they might have come here during a time like this, and they're like, "Well, we got to be here because the weather's awesome."
Possibly, there is changing seasons here. I mean, there's usually a dramatic winter, but it's not as cold as some places. But I mean, there's it's usually pretty cold from November to late March, you know, and I've had a lot of people talking to me because I work around people. And I've had a lot of people telling me that they feel a little odd and anxious and even like how their insecurities and anxieties are about it. And you've been getting it in your readings too, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Brett, you were going to say something?
That explains a lot.
Yeah, I was. I mentioned it in the chat room. We have some worries with the way that our winter is this year because that the snow, the very slow melting of the snow is what raises our lake beds. It also helps fertilize the ground for the spring. We are at a point where if it doesn't change soon, our spring and summer are not going to be very fertile.
Oh,
and that's a worry for example, I'll use a very selfish reason, our grocery prices will raise. but our food might be an actual problem next year if these things don't happen, and that's meat as well. Because this also is where, you know, will confuse animals and they won't reproduce in the same manner that they usually do. It's a real worry that we have had such a warm, unsnowy winter.
Yes. And Oberon, you were about to say something?
I was just going to say that reflects very interestingly and accurately what I've experienced here. I mean, I live in western Nebraska, where we're used to being covered in snowfall 6 months of the year. And we've had one snowfall so far this year, I think, and it melted by the next day. It's just been unusually warm, and people are kind of experiencing that kind of anxiety that you were just talking about. That's interesting. I hadn't connected the dots with that, but that really makes sense.
Yeah, it was something my brother and I talked about it the other day, because my brother is a minister, so people come to him with advice and stuff. And of course, Kevin, you know, he gets readings all the time, both, you know, in the shop and other places. And this is the first time I've asked him, so I was kind of interested to get that response that, yes, he's getting kind of anxious folks in there. And
I say you hang in there. Don't really have a choice.
Yeah, and it's almost like the body is physically, because it's used to it, like Oberon was saying, they got one snowfall, they're used to it for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So their natural biological senses are just not functioning properly, like you said, not getting that proper sort of waning eternal quiet time.
It could also be the pulling back of the seasons on the seasonal slingshot, elastic on the slingshot, and end up snapping us into a really impactful storm that'll hit us and have us, immobilized for two or three weeks. There's all sorts of potential.
I'm sorry to interrupt. We are hitting our 50-second warning.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. And since we're there, I'd like to thank Brett Hillman and Oberon LaFay for joining us.
Sherry Cooper as well, even though she is not currently with us.
Sherry Cooper, right. sorry, Reverend Sherry. Sherry
and
Cooper.
Thanks for the invitation again. I always appreciate being included. This is really a great experience for me.
Oh, good. And thank you for 10 seconds left, folks. So remember that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined. Happy in bulk, and blessed be.
Friends, blessings.
Blessed be.